message is entitled, The Boy Who Stayed at Home. The Boy Who Stayed at Home. This message today being preached on Easter Sunday of 1986, March the 30th, is still an injection of the greatest personality you'd ever lived. I want to consider two of the great stories that he told about a parent with two children. One was rebellious and one wasn't. And it seems like in our generation, churches and ministries all over our country want to eulogize the prodigal. I think we ought to eulogize the boy or the girl that stays home and don't have to get out on dope or lose their virtue and catch some old venereal disease or the AIDS or get out here and dissipate their health and come back all broken down and disabled and broken in body and spirit. I know God can save from the uttermost unto the guttermost. But who wants to get saved in the gutter? Who wants to get in the gutter and be the one out of a million that is brought back to the Lord? See, your chances when you get in that gutter is very slim that you'll ever get out of that gutter once you get in it. So why do we want to eulogize the prodigal and leave the boy alone that stayed at home and worked for his father and didn't go out and waste his father's goods and bring discredit to his father and on that family? And I want to call your attention to the two stories that Jesus told that are illustrative of the situation in our own family life, perhaps. Luke the 15th chapter beginning, Luke 15, verse 11, Jesus said a certain man had two sons. Now, you don't have to use the word sons. You can say he had a son and a daughter or two daughters. It's somehow in the Bible, they always spoke of the boys and the girls wasn't mentioned too often. But the terminology always includes and implies the daughter as well as the son. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son, see, gave him more than he ought to have. Every time you give one of your children something before they reach maturity, you are ruining that child. They don't need nothing until they get grown, and that don't mean 18, by the way. That's the worst age there is. That's a dangerous age, 18. That's when you're about your craziest. Now, you that's been there, you know that, 18. You didn't have sense enough to say no to the devil or nothing else. Somebody don't guide you, take the Bible. I'm preaching the Bible. I ain't preaching about your stinking humanism and Dr. Spockism and all that junk that's ruined our nation. I'm talking about what the Bible says. And every time in the Bible you find a young man or a young woman that stayed at home, it's because they had a great parent and grandparent or a great preacher that had great influence on the life of that young man and woman and kept them home until they were big enough to say, oh my, I'm so glad I had a mom and daddy that kept me home, or a preacher that was the kind of preacher that had influence enough to keep me home. I didn't go out and dissipate my virtue and lose my health and my reputation. I didn't bring disgrace to my family, to my parents, to God, my Creator, or to Jesus, the Lord that gave his life for me. But this young man, he got full of rebellion because his father divided up to him what was in the bank. Now, he didn't give him everything. He didn't divide the whole inheritance. He divided up what he had on hand. It's a good thing he didn't. He was a wise enough father not to divide the inheritance. But he divided unto them his living, what he had on hand. And not many days after he got that money in his bank account, in his hand, the young boy said, Father, I'm leaving. I've got all my possessions together, and I'm leaving home. Well, he took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance in riotous living. All right, I want to call your attention to another story Jesus told of a man that had two sons. Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 28. Jesus said, "What think ye? A certain man had two sons." And this is not the same man, by the way. And if you're a father or a mother with teenage children, you know just exactly what I'm talking about. You can have children, they look alike, they've had the same parents, they had the same training or teaching or lack of training or lack of teaching or whatever the situation was. They had equal opportunity to education, to everything that you had to offer them. They were equal. But after they get up betwixt 12 and 20, that teenage comes on them, you'll discern right quickly they're not alike. They're very different. They're not like they were when they were little fellas. Got the same mama, the same daddy, the same environmental conditions, the same breeding or heredity. And you hear it argued pro and con among child psychologists and adolescent psychologists and the humanists. And they say, "Oh, you give us that child and give him the right environmental conditions and we'll make him the right kind of a person." Why can't parents produce children that have equal opportunity, they have equal backgrounds? And if you'd test them with an IQ test, they would have rather equal intelligence because they have the same genealogical background that the other one possesses. And then they have such different attitudes. They have such different desires and feelings toward their parents or toward life itself. My God, it makes you scratch your head in a lot of other places wondering now what am I going to do. You know what I'm talking about. Look around like this one here. The certain man had two sons. And he said to his first son, "Go work in the vineyard." He said, "I will not." That sounds about like him, don't it? "I ain't going to do it. We'll wash dishes. I'm not going to do it. Get up and go to school." If you don't say ain't, they'll go out, he'll go out and shoot hooky or something or another. Or if he does get there, he's so disgruntled, aggravating, nobody can't hardly tolerate him or her. But it's amazing in this story, unlike the story of the man with two sons in Luke 15, this son afterward, we don't know how long, however, he repented and he went and worked in his father's vineyard. Then he came to the second son and he said, "Likewise, you go work in my vineyard." And he says, "Good, Dad, I'm headed that way." But he had a curve in his road. It didn't go straight to the vineyard. It went straight to the play yard. And he took off and he didn't go to the vineyard. Whether the twain, Jesus asked the question, did the will of his father. They say the first. Jesus saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots will go into the kingdom of God before you." Now these fellows here were two, just a little different from the two sons of the father in Luke 15. Now going back to Luke the 15th chapter, we find here that the prodigal went off and wasted everything his father had given him. He wasted everything, the tangible as well as the intangible. Now that father had given him some training. This was a good father, and you certainly don't have to suspect it. It's evident here in the response of this father. He couldn't keep the young guy at home, but he loved him enough to divide with him some of the goods to impress upon him the love that he had for the young fellow. Now, he didn't divide all everything he had in a savings account, everything he had in material possessions, real estate, and so forth.